Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. I hope you're having a great day. I know that there's probably a lot of you that may not be having a great day, or you may be having some kind of stress or what have you. And as I'm coming up on a significant date of losing an important person in my life, I bear and start to think of, you know, that relationship that I had. And I just dread to think, you know, because it was an important relationship. And the good thing was that we were, you know, even though we may have had strained relationships throughout our entire life, we actually were able to, you know, come together prior to the fact of, you know, accepting death and all of that. But anyway, the reason I want to bring this up is because there's way too many people. I have a good friend that I know locally that lost their spouse because they were going to an event and one of them was going to participate in the event and the other one was going to be there for them. And there's probably, because the one that was going to be there for them was typically a person that's late. And I don't want to share this with you because I think this is really important. I believe that there had been a history between the two. I'd never talk to them because I just dare not. But I believe there was a history because there was a trend of tardiness by one of them. And anyway, it was apparent that on this particular event that this person was going to participate in, their spouse, who had been trending to always be late, was running a little late that day and ended up taking a risk that ended up losing his life. And I dread to think that the surviving spouse that was at the event might have made a comment that something like, please don't be late this time, that actually was the motivation of making that person take that risk and, you know, driving to the event and ended up dying in the, you know, and didn't hurt anybody. He was riding a motorcycle, went off the street and so forth. And I don't want to give too much details because I want to guard my friends, but how would you like to live the rest of your life thinking and having that on your conscience that you might have been, you know, not right in that situation that caused that? Or that, when we have loved ones in our life and they tend to go to work and there might be something that's affecting, you know, the harmony or something, don't let those types of things be the last thing that you have engaging in your relationship with people. And I guess the message I want to convey is the importance in forgiving others. Get over it, do it, and do it now. Don't wait. Because I'm telling you, there's too many people out there that, you know, have lost somebody that never got a chance to once say either they're sorry, make things right, or at least let them know, hey, I forgive you, those types of things. I mean, in looking at all my friends and family that I have lost, and it's probably the same way in your life, not a lot of those times, you know, did you get the chance to, you know, see, you know, and get things in order because they're dying of cancer and all of that. When people die of a sudden accident, there's always these little things that tend to keep us from squaring up, you know, making right, however you want to put it. And so I would just ask that if you want to have just, you know, a true winner's feeling in life, always forgive and be quick to, you know, say you're sorry. Take ownership of your own actions and those types of things. Don't let these things harbor and fester and destroy your relationship, your life, or what have you. Because if something does happen, then you literally, there's nothing you can do about it for the rest of your life. And it just becomes another weight you're carrying in a bag. And bags get heavy over time. It's just like closets get full of bones if we don't straighten up our behavior, right? So anyway, I'm not trying to give any psychological, but it dawned on me that I'm kind of coming around the corner. It's a little over a month away from, you know, a difficult time in my life a year ago that, you know, I watched a very close friend and loved one, you know, accept death. But it was so good. And I feel right. But it's because we were able to work through what problems we had. But I knew that there were other issues and other problems that still affect people today, from this passing, this person's passing. And it hurts inside to know that sometimes there wasn't enough time to heal or that those things didn't get put into proper perspective, because it affects people. So don't let it affect you. And the best way not to let it affect you is literally repenting and forgiving. Those two Christian doctrines, there may be other doctrines of similar in different faiths, but I know that there are some faiths that don't have that. They don't understand that. They don't apply that. But we happen to have Christianity that is the center of our culture. Even though that is trending away, let's not let that happen. Let's kind of start clinging on to our heritage of Christianity, because the research is showing that we're becoming far less Christian. We're less than 50% Christian now. That doesn't mean that many of the people, the majority of the people, are still of Christian descent and or heritage. It's just that they have abandoned Christ. They've abandoned their religious affiliations and so forth. At least so says the Pew Research, as things have been moving in a rapidly bad direction. But anyway, as I was kind of pondering before the show, literally as the music was playing, I go, wow, it's almost that time. You know, just a little over a month away. And so I just felt encouraged and or motivated to leave you with that message. It is so important. Do not care. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to carry that kind of weight, like my friend who lost their spouse. And, you know, it's living every day with the thought that, you know, had I been more forgiving and more allowing this person to be late and accepting that, because I don't know if that was the case or not. I'm just making the assumption, because I do know that, you know, that's what spouses do with each other. They tend to, you know, you're always late. You got to be here on time. I mean, that's what happens. And so I'm speculating, but that is a heavy weight to carry. And we should not let those types of things drag us down. And the best way to not let that happen is to avoid those types of pitfalls. Sometimes we have to just accept the fact that, you know, the spouse that we married is, you know, has some faults and has some, you know, and we just have to love them and accept them for that. Anyway, this is not your marriage counseling class or, you know, session or anything else. So let me just kind of move forward. I just wanted to kind of share this tone that I had. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. Even show hosts that are so focused on saving the Constitution like this one and actually having the only solution to actually tell you and actually support it academically. We all tend to have, you know, the human feelings and are wrapped up in the human condition. And so therefore, I digressed, or I showed that human side of me. Forgive me for that. But the number to call in is 215-867-8255. I will have some more Trump campaign promises. And this is definitely not throwing sand in Trump's face or anything else. But I think it's really good to try to take the eyes and the views of a progressive and how journalism is supposedly objective. And also to, let's say, you know what, Trump did promise a lot of things. But like I've been telling you, Republicans and Democrats on both sides tend to get carried away in trying to make promises to every crowd. And so that's why you kind of saw, you know, some variations, literally three variations of the same kind of thing. But the whole point is that when you're out there, there are people or there are journalists like this. What is her name? I just had it right. I know I told you this yesterday. Jenna Johnson. Yeah. So when there's people out there that have an axe, they're going to grind it and they're going to continue to grind it. So the fact is that I remembered that she created this axe grinding list of 282 promises and she failed to support it academically. It would have been good had she basically put in parentheses, you know, on this date at this time, you know, at this point in time in the speech. That would be helpful so anybody could go through and check the veracity of what she's saying. So who knows? She's creating all these quotations. And if you want to take her job, then go ahead and prove that her quotations and citations are incorrect and then hold her accountable. But I'm not trying to do that. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to literally go through these campaign promises because that's what candidates do. And I've kind of started grinding on this thing that campaign promises, if they are not actually within the scope of your job and responsibility, we need to start curtailing them. We need to have presidents that stand up and say, I will faithfully execute the constitutional laws of the land, and I will not faithfully execute unconstitutional laws that we are buried with. I mean, I'd love to hear a presidential candidate actually say that, wouldn't you? And the same thing with a congressman, the same thing with a sheriff. I will only support constitutional laws, period. And so at a hard break, as we are right now, we'll be right back and I'll carry that thought. So we'll be right back. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So, because of the sentimental moment I had earlier, I'll just fly by and say, if you want to help, if you want to get involved in being a part of the only solution that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can send us money. Go to gofundme.com and just look for Reclaiming the Republic, or just go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. I've got the link to the GoFundMe site right there on the homepage, right towards the top. You can't miss it, but most people do. But anyway, I will also say that if you want to support the good causes of what we're supporting, sign up with constitutionclub.ning.com with Keith Broders and helping them with the recension of the 17th Amendment. I know that they're going to be focused on that. At least that's my impression. Sessions have started, so I'm expecting emails to get flying soon. And I'm hoping to have, I think it's Erin Williams Lee, on hopefully soon. I'm going to reach out to her again. She's in Kansas, and she is supporting the First Amendment First, and or that movement to actually get the First Amendment ratified of the 12 in the Bill of Rights. Our First Amendment was the third amendment that was proposed. And so when I say the First Amendment, I'm saying the first proposed amendment in the Bill of Rights. So anyway, if you do your research, you will find that the two things that I'm kind of help supporting is the two things that will help drain the swamp. Rescinding the 17th Amendment will drain the Senate. And this new amendment, or this actually old Madison amendment that was written way back then, if we ratify that, that will at least displace all of the water in the swamp, and, you know, it'll just kill the swamp, if not drain it completely. And so moving forward, as I scanned through the news, there is still no sign that there is any relinquishing of the usurped powers that the federal government has taken from the states. So with that, we have to do this. We have to move forward, and we literally have to just, you know, put our, you know, our heads down and drive the ball, just like we're playing, you know, with the Larry Zonka, the undefeated Miami Dolphins, and just drive that rock or brick forward. As far as I know that the Senate confirmation hearings have begun on Barr, and I believe that this is going to play out, you know, probably interesting as well, because everything that Trump is doing has been, you know, I would just say, what do you want to call that? What is that good word? The Democrats have been obstructionists. They have been the party of no. They have been everything anti-Trump, and they're going to play their colors just very well through this. Here's the interesting thing. I kind of mentioned with the Kavanaugh thing, I didn't necessarily consider Kavanaugh the most constitutional, and people are now seeing that that's not the case, that we actually do not have a good constitutional Supreme Court. And Gorsuch, I've still felt the same way. I just don't think that we have, and I don't know if there is any good real Scalias out there anymore. I know that Mark Erbach, he believes that I should be the next Chief Justice. I got it on tape. I know he said it. Anyway, putting that aside, I believe that what will end up happening as we start looking at Barr, I believe that Trump will end up getting buyer's remorse in nominating him. I think that there's a good chance that we're either being played. So we're being played one way or the other. Either Barr is best friends with Mueller, or, you know, they're trying to create this persona and, you know, driving the Democrats into quickly accepting him so that he can go in there and kill Mueller. I don't know. I just know that I'm getting tired of being played, and it's really hard to know really what the truth is, because everybody is holding their cards so close to their vest that we constantly can't, you know, you can't believe what you're hearing. I mean, when you're listening to these old hacks like Clapper and Brennan and so forth, the intelligence community talking about things that, you know, they should be doing and so forth, I'm going, you know, these guys are just nothing but a bunch of political hack liars. And so just, it's hard to have any respect for anybody in that town in D.C. And so let me also say this, because this really plays towards the Platonist and the Platonesque type of move that we're seeing in society, because from Hollywood, or I should say from the entertainment industry, doing the West Wing and just the honor of, you know, keeping the Bill Clinton legacy alive of how great a man he was. Oh, Anyway, sarcasm just dripping here. They keep on doing crap like that, and it is all about conditioning. They just keep on wanting to condition us into believing that we're being served so well as they take us hand in hand and gland in gland into slavery of the government. Well, so a new thing in the news that is Platonesque as well, because this plays back to the 60s counterculture revolution. The Killers, supposedly some, you know, artsy fartsy rocker group or what have you, has laid out a new track, and it's called Land of the Free, and it enters into the political fray as the song focuses on the border wall and gun violence in the United States. And of course, they're anti-establishment. But I'm telling you that what they're talking about is truly the deep state establishment. They're supporting communism. And so, you know, it's not like these things have gone away. I mean, we still see the entertainment industry. We still see the mainstream media and the academics and all these people still singing the same old crappy songs that if we fight for liberty, if we fight for sovereignty, we are, you know, we're dead inside and that we're no good and that we're immoral. And I'm going, how can giving people their own free agency and liberty being immoral? Forcing people into a slave state is probably the most immoral thing we could do. And these people have no compunction. They have no morality in understanding, or I should say, they understand what they're doing. They have no morality and conscience as to what they're doing and the evils that they are perpetrating upon humanity. So I will just say this, that when entertainers enter into the fray, it is because they have a profound understanding of the issue and they are merely tools for the progressive elite. That's all. They understand what's at stake and they actually realize. And so the rhetoric, what this means is, and when you see groups, when you see movie stars and become so visceral in their rhetoric against liberty, they're just playing their hand in who they're supporting. They're just playing their hand in their ideology that we need to be slaves. How dare you think you could do things for yourself? Where do you get off? I mean, that's their attitude. And you have to remember their motto, the ends justify the means, because that is their mind model. So there's a new trend as well in divisive tactics, and this is actually hitting people that are going into service establishments and inciting bad behavior and so forth. If you haven't noticed, I mean, how many people have been vigilante busted and have been fired because of the free market? Now, just keep in mind, why don't you go into a government position and get a government person to do these things and find out that they can't get fired? Then what? But you can do this in the free market. This is the beauty of the free market, that the free market and capitalism, or I should say, an at-will state, because if that person has an entitlement to that job, the employer cannot fire them. But what's happening in this divisive tactic that's just happening? It happened to, I believe, a nurse down in the South. It just recently happened to somebody else. This is happening more and more, where people are getting videotaped, where they go into an establishment and they start behaving badly and getting the employees to react and frustrating the employees to a point where they end up breaking and striking back and saying something that they shouldn't ought to say. And so it ends up going viral and that person gets fired as a reactionary thing. And there is no, what is the consequence of the person that came in? The question is, was that a state where you had to have permission of both people? There are plenty of states that have dual permissions. Like, you can't do that in Washington State. You can't do that in California, because you have to have. But what happens is they even ignore the law, because when it comes to social justice, they will go after that person that falls into the category of privileged, as you know what I mean. And what they try to do is they literally just hold those folks accountable. And the folks that aren't within the privileged category get off scot-free. So the question I have is, are these tactics juvenile? Is this just are we living in a Purell world that's just gone astray? Are we just, you know, becoming just uncivilized? Is that what it is? I'm going to tell you no. I'm going to tell you that this is basically almost like guerrilla warfare, but this is an economic warfare tactic. These are not impromptu events. I will bet you, if you do the research, you will probably find that those individuals have had interactions before, and that person, the opportunist with the video camera, says, you know what, I'm going to goat this person to the brink of them breaking, and watch what they do when I videotape it, and I am going to extract not just a pound of flesh, but a gallon of blood. And so these are warfare tactics that people are starting to utilize, because at this point in time, we have bad paradigms where there are certain entities, or I should say demographics, that are automatically associated as guilty. And you know what I mean? And I'll explain when I get back. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Oh, GR, that can't be warfare. I know some people are probably thinking that, but I'm telling you it is. It's an economic warfare that is being waged, and there are plenty of victims. It's not just the individual that got hoaxed, whatever you want to call it. The establishment itself is a victim as well. Now, I am not encouraging, and as a matter of fact, I am advocating that we take the high road, that I don't think people should lose their temper. I don't think people should be owned by a particular person that really aggravates and or frustrates or what have you. But people are people. People are human beings, and they tend to let their emotions get the best of them, especially people that are working in these types of establishments. So, I mean, the individual gentleman or the gal was working in the establishment of that donut factory where the nurse that got fired. You can obviously tell she wasn't a college engineer degree, person on, a professional track. She was, obviously she had engagements with that person before, and she was going to literally, get some vigilante justice on him and also, tarnish the name of the establishment. So I think where we need to go is we need to start looking at the bigger picture. I think employers should stop firing people. I think that what they need to do is you got to ask yourself at McDonald's or these donut shops or what have you, is there a advantage to keeping an employee? Well, it costs you money when you don't have an employee to fill a slot because you try to staff to a very specific level, and then you have to put pressure on others, maybe paying overtime or what have you, just to cover the ends, because it's difficult hiring people. It's difficult just opening your doors and bringing somebody else in. And so what establishments need to start doing is they need to literally make sure that there's some level of training up front so that these kids or these people that are getting hired understand what they need to do and what they shouldn't do. And, they need to have follow-on training as well. That way, these kids, can recognize the situation that there are vigilantes out there that are going to try to goat you into behaving badly on film. And establishments need to start posting signs around the establishment that this, we adhere to a two-person permission policy, for anybody doing videotaping of our employees. That way, they can legally go after anybody that releases any type of video that is a part of their establishment and hold them accountable. It says it doesn't really matter, because bottom line, why was your film rolling? Why did this altercation? Because there's always the history. Just because somebody broke, just because somebody was coaxed into breaking, because I can do this with anybody. I know guys that professionally break people all the time. As the interrogator translators that I worked with, that's what their profession is getting them to break. And so once you know how to pull people's strings, the next thing you start getting good at it, and you can, be pretty successful in getting not all of the people, but, a good percentage of the people to, pull these strings. And then next thing you know, we literally have a bunch of vigilantes that are targeting very specific people. Now, the fact is that there is this idea or paradigm that the privileged are the white males, because obviously the Me Too movement is protecting all females. There is zero protection for the white males. This goes back to that identity politics and that identity group I was talking about. They have a very legitimate leg to stand on, and that's one of the reasons why I forget who they are. But there's organizations that are starting to grow, and these are not racist organizations. As I look at it, they actually have a legitimate argument to say, hey, you're trying to tell us that our heritage is bad just because of its color. And that is just as bad as us stating the same about your heritage, regardless of what it is. There is no... there's no room in the argument of objectivism when all of a sudden it is steeped in bias. You can't be objective. And so there are good arguments to be stating why these groups are growing and so forth. But folks, be aware, be attuned, to your surrounding. When somebody comes in and starts goading you, then you just need to be prepared to just shut down and say, I'm sorry, let me see if I can find somebody else to serve you because I'm having a problem, or whatever you want to say, but just don't say the wrong thing. We got to stay on the high road. In dealing with people, we have to stay on the high road, because there are a lot of evil people out there that love taking advantage of others. And I am telling you that this isn't going to get any better. This is as video mediums and recording devices and those types of things get better and better. You better know whether you're in a two-party consent state or not. And if you are not, then you need to mind your P's and Q's. But if you are, that doesn't mean you're protected. You literally need to stay on top of this. So there's lots of other things in the news I want to go on to. But let me just kind of repeat, because Trump has been really right on this wall thing. I told you before, I'm not an advocate for walls. But there is no doubt in my mind that with him building this wall, because it has been a paradigm of exploitation since the 30s, actually since the 20s, with the open porous border where people, as long as they could get through, they could become here, or even having the migrant status that they had back in the 20s. Things got to change. We've got to have a physical wall because we're too globally connected with China, with all of these other evil states, Saudi Arabia, or I should say, I'll just say it, these Muslim nations and these other crap hole nations in the world. We cannot allow a southern border and possibly even a northern border to be open, because even Trudeau is starting to make these comments of, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, let, you know, we're going to bring in 1 million refugees. Why? Because then they now have access to walk into America from the north, right? I mean, there is merit in saying we shouldn't just maybe end up with a southern wall, but maybe we should end up with a northern wall as well, because Trudeau has proven himself as hostile towards American liberty and American sovereignty. So up front, I think what Trump needs to do is he needs to go and grab the EPA or the Department of Transportation and clearly make the argument that this is an unconstitutional department. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm obligated to fulfilling and actually executing the laws of the land. And if, you know, I've got things like this that are unconstitutional, it's violating the law of the land, then we need to end this and watch Trump start picking them. Like, you know, like he loves me not with the little daisies or whatever. You know, it's constitutional, it's constitutional not. It's constitutional not. And let him start tearing apart that flower. He's going to find that there are more petals on that flower that are unconstitutional than constitutional, and literally start EOing them away as literally standing up as the chief executive and saying, I clearly cannot find any constitutional evidence that this is a delegated power from the states. And because of that, I am closing this down. Boom. And just like that, EPA's gone, and watch the Democrats wither and just, you know, start screeching and, you know, have a conundrum, maybe even having a huge hissy fit or a tantrum. I don't care, you know, and then I would be loving to report, hey, they're doing this, but this is not what, you know, is going to seal the deal. The states need to step up and seal the deal and say, that's right, those are unconstitutional. We never delegated that power to you. And therefore, we're going to actually audit the rest of this stuff, because we know you're violating our Constitution. It's air apparent. And we are going to demand that you behave in accordance with the Constitution. If not, you're violating it, and therefore we will charge you with treason, because anybody that is being hostile and an enemy to our Constitution is literally an enemy to the state, which is aiding and abetting the enemy of the Constitution and is the act of treason, period. So I would love to see him start using these EOs and literally start going after these unconstitutional forms of government. Now, with one minute left, a little over a minute for this segment before we get into the Trump's promises, history is so good at repeating itself. And this year is starting off just like 1994 for Southern California. The previous years, they had fire damage, so much so that it started causing mudslides from the rains in the wintertime. And in 1994, when they had real hard rains, they had a lot of mudslides. And when the earth was still soft and soppy wet, they had the Northridge earthquake. Now, I'm hoping that, you know, history doesn't fully repeat the 1994, but California, because of the way they've been managing their government and giving privileges to the people instead of securing and ensuring that they can stop fires, ensuring that their infrastructure, so the PG&E or PDG&E, whatever, the Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, that's what it is, doing the due diligence and upping their infrastructure and serving their growing population, growing demand, the constitutional, or I should say legitimate demand, because there's a lot of illegitimate or illegal demands that they have. Anyway, it looks like history is setting itself up in California to repeat itself. There's so much more to go through, and I know you get your full dose of that on all the other channels. So let's actually go through, because nobody's going through the Trump promises, and we'll pick up where we left off yesterday, and you're going to love this. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so we're going to dive forward with these promises. I'm going to start off with one that I'm really glad to start off with this one, because I think this really does set the tone in some stark differences. Now, you got to understand that Trump is not your classical politician, because he never was a politician. He was a businessman all the way through. And what do politicians do all the time? The Trump, obviously, and everybody sees this, so they kind of jump into the fray doing exactly, quack like a duck, right? All sorts of politicians make campaign promises. They promise, candy to kids and, girls to boys and boys to girls, right? I mean, they try to do everything that, promise them the things that they believe the people want. But here's a promise that was truly a promise of his character. And it's been proven. And there's not a lot of people trying to make political hay on it. As a matter of fact, they're very silent on this promise because it has been proven rock solid. He said this, and this is exactly what he has done. And this is what he said, promise number 24, if I draw a line in the sand, I will enforce it. And he has. When he says he's going to do something, doggone, right, wrong, or indifferent, he does it. And you got to respect him for it. And so the 25th one is kind of interesting, because this is kind of a response to, I think, a vernacular of speech that politicians, lawyers, and everybody kind of do this. And it's interesting how Jenna Johnson has kind of highlighted this because she makes this little editorial comment. She says, this is his one of his promises. And I don't understand how this is a promise, but he says, I don't settle cases. This is more of a statement than a promise. He says, I don't settle cases. I don't do it. And then this little, you know, anecdotal comment that Jenna makes, she says, this month, Trump settled a fraud lawsuit against Trump University for $25 million. Well, she says Trump did. But actually, as we know, and it may be skirting, it's just typical how people talk. And it is the literal facts that it was Trump's lawyers that settled that case for $25 million. And so, but they wanted to bring this up. But how is that a promise that he doesn't settle cases? Now, he doesn't negotiate with terrorists. He doesn't negotiate. But I mean, that's not what she's highlighting here. She's highlighting a comment when he was being held to, you know, about his Trump University stuff. He says, I don't settle the cases. And he was being truthful because technically he doesn't. It's up to the lawyers to settle those cases because it's all in negotiation. And he has lots of lawyers, as we can tell, that he has to have some blind faith in, or at least he, you know, pays. It's not necessarily, but he buys blind faith, maybe. 26, fully focus on the presidency and put his three oldest children, Junior, Ivanka, and Eric, in charge of running his company. And so Trump is yet to take steps. This is her anecdotal comment. He is yet to take steps of isolating himself from his business. And his three oldest children have played major role in the transition team, which that is true. But, you know, I will tell you that actually, if he was still running his company and he was still actively involved in his company as much as Jenna Johnson wants to claim here, since he's become president, that the political operatives and the national narrative would be chiding him big time for doing that. And obviously he hasn't been doing it because they've been silent on it. So you kind of have to say, well, it looks like he was actually true to that, even though, you know, there was a little banter up front that doesn't look like it's going to happen. But bottom line, it is exactly what happened. He really has removed himself from the Trump corporate operations. Anyway, so 27 is in the category of taxes and supposedly release his tax returns as soon as an Internal Revenue Service audit is complete. This has become a huge point for the Democrats. And I know he may have promised this, but I want to, you know, basically plead to him not to. I don't think that until they want to make it law so that it bites a future Democrat or a future politician with the consequences of this, because in all honesty, I don't care. We all know he's rich. He didn't come in hiding his affluence. He actually told us that he was one of the architects of the swamp because he was buying every single politician on both sides of the aisle. He knew that was full disclosure. He may actually be the most transparent president we've ever had in honestly telling you exactly what he's been doing and why he's been doing it. 28, pass the Middle Class Tax Relief and Simplification Acts, which will reduce the number of tax brackets from 7 down to 4. And I don't think it got there. I don't think that was the final outcome. I think that there are still quite a few, but he definitely did lower the taxes. Now, people are using a lot of hyperbole out there and hyperbolic, well, however you want to say it, hyperbole or hyperbolic speech, but they are all talking about how their taxes have gone up. Well, what Trump has done is he's ended the subsidization of socialism in most of the socialistic states. So in other words, if you were able to write things off on, you know, on your state taxes federally, he's not letting you do that anymore. The state wants a pound of flesh out of you, then you pay that pound of flesh. They just want their equal pound of flesh, but they've reduced how much flesh that they want from you, and they're not letting you subsidize your state taxes. So yes, many people that live in dark blue states are now paying probably more in taxes, but not to the federal government. They're actually paying more, well, they are to the federal government, but that's because it was offsetting the aggressive taxes that the blue states were charging. and now they're no longer getting the offset. And so most people are upset about that. Get the heck out of those blue states. Come hither to a red state that actually has not been aggressive in overtaxing you, so where you don't even have to worry. You don't even need to worry about those tax write-offs because they're not that aggressive in these other states. And so I truly believe that he actually did fulfill this campaign promise. It was one of the first campaign promises, and I think they're still working on tax reductions part two. Number 29, lowering the corporate tax rate to 15% and get rid of most corporate tax loopholes or incentives. He has done this. And as a matter of fact, I think the way this ended up in this particular promise is actually better than what, you know, he was even talking about. I think he kind of lowballed on the campaign trail on this, if you ask me, because what he has done is he has incentivized corporations, and that's why corporations are actually bringing back money into the United States because they can now start investing and so forth. There was a lot of, it's called repatriating the money that these corporations have. You know, if we can bring China, or I should say, if we can hit China, Apple is a big part of China. And if we can bring Apple back out of China and do the manufacturing here, then China would all of a sudden, as we start innovating and leaping forward in technology, you will find that China will actually start becoming stagnant in their technological development. Google, Apple, and all of these computer companies that are doing business with China, there should be a moratorium. They should literally be shut down and said, we are not going to let you sell any product that you produce or develop in China, in any other part of the world, if you're an American company. So you either need to abandon America and not sell your product here, but we're basically going to ban you and put sanctions against these companies. Why? Because China steals everything. And that's because that's the honor among thieves. Apple steals everything they possibly can. Amazon steals everything that they possibly, anything that they consider of value, just like Costco. Costco steals anything that they possibly can to put their name Kirkland on it. Remember when you go in there and you find Costco selling these nice chocolates that are some brand name that you never heard of, and boy, these things are really good. Oh, they're out of Hawaii. They're macadamia chocolate nuts with caramel and edge. Yeah, this is great. 2 years later, they no longer sell that brand. But guess what? Kirkland is selling a brand that is just like that. They steal everything that they possibly can that they can get away with. And as far as I'm concerned, I think that the government needs to actually start protecting one intellectual property as well as our sovereignty. And they have all the rights in the world to do that. I would love to see the federal government actually start manhandling these tech companies and basically start, you know, putting money into, you know, we made those tech companies, America made those tech companies, and there are lots of little tech companies that are ready to come up and replace Apple, Amazon, and the rest of these companies. You got to remember, though, with Trump in office, let's put this in perspective. Amazon only existed because of its relationship with the CIA. It was in the red for decades, right? For how long was it able to not post a profit? Any other company would have been shut down. The government allowed it because they were sharing technical, very private information about you, the customer, to the CIA and giving them a trove of data called data mining. The government has been doing this for years. I talk to people online about, oh, how evil the government is because of Snowden. Come on. I mean, if it was Snowden that got you all up in a tizzy, then you've had your head buried in the sand. Snowden is a traitor. He did far more damage than he should have. And as far as I'm concerned, we already knew that the state had been spying on us in all sorts of ways long before Snowden came along. And he's just exposed more things to the enemy than anything else. So if you think Snowden is a hero, I would love to have that conversation with you because he truly is a traitor. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, but I need your help. God bless, and I will be back tomorrow. We'll have more Trump's promises. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.